Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Paul Hamilton.
The way they played last night, they definitely would have come out on the top side. But, you know, Tampa Bay was... They are eager, they were hungry, and they wanted to make sure that they... That was Paul. They just put out the buffet.
On WGR.
Go ahead, Paul. You can go get a plate.
Oh, okay. Oh, my.
So, yeah, oh. I thought they were great.
Sports Radio 550.
Rolling into the 5 o'clock hour we go. I am the Bulldog. Thanks for tuning in. Mike Schoep has the day off today. Sneaky Joe DiBiase is along for the ride, as always. And on the West Hur hotline right now is our man, Paul Hamilton. Paul, the big question that I have for you, I mean, that Eichel and his agents and surgery and disreplay, that can all wait. Are you going to have enough time after we're done with this segment to get a prime spot at the Bidwell Park concert series tonight? That's the big question.
I actually don't even know who's playing tonight. And usually I'm on top of that stuff.
Paul. The mighty.
You need to educate me here.
The mighty, the great Leroy Towns Band is playing at the Bidwell Park Concert Series tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. And yours truly is playing a couple of jams with them.
See, so you're
missing a great... Yeah, right. You said you came and saw them at the Sportsman's a few years ago and you liked them. And they are, I mean, they're some of the most talented people I'll ever know in my life.
There was a Sunday over next to the grain elevators a couple of years ago. And I remember I saw them over there, too.
Yep. The Silo City Music Festival. Yeah, I believe that was. Yeah. Anyway, so they're doing that tonight. Free deal. This out on the green there on Bidwell right near Elmwood. And so, you know, get down there, Paul. I don't know what you got going on. Sorry I didn't give you a heads up.
I thought you were following my
social media. I thought you don't.
It would be nice if you gave me more than 2 hours advance notice.
Because
I'm sorry. I cruise around and get to that stuff.
Yeah, I should have thought to text you. I apologize for the oversight. Anyway, yeah, hope lots of people get out there. It should be a super fun night. It was a great scene a couple weeks ago. I was there to see some other friends play. Anyway, oh, Paul. This situation, we haven't talked to you since the Friday night, curiously timed anyway. I mean, late on a Friday night is a weird time for the agents to try to make a point, but they chose to do it then, so they did. What was your reaction to the note from Jack Eichel's agents about how this is all going?
I just got the impression that that all came from Jack. He got upset. It was the day after Adams had come out and said, you know, they're in control. The player's under contract. They don't feel any pressure. They're in control of this process. And considering the first line in response to the Sabres regarding being in control of the process, Jack under contract and other comments, Jack was furious, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
The way I see this possibly went down was Jack said, I want a statement out there. If you want to be my agents, we're going to put one out. If you don't, I'll find somebody who will. And because that statement did them no good whatsoever. The process is not working, they said. Okay, great. Now what?
Right.
Fine.
It definitely doesn't help. Yeah.
Yeah. You did not. You hurt the Sabres' ability to trade Eichel by this statement. You got nothing out of it, other than I don't know. I don't think you got anything out of it. I think you look bad from it, and I think you were better off just letting it be. Even if you were extremely upset and extremely angry. But Jack has a tendency to let his temper get a hold of him. And, you know, there's just, to me, there was just nothing. And then, next thing you know, all of a sudden here's the 30-minute interview with Elliot Friedman with your doctor, which, by the way, Jack Eichel has to approve. His his doctor cannot come out and start talking 30 minutes about Jack Eichel as a patient without Jack Eichel's approval.
Sure.
And that doctor had turned Elliot down numerous times, according to Elliot, and then all of a sudden agreed to do it. You know, so then now he's out there talking about the replacement and everything about it and Jack and the whole thing, you know, from that angle. So I think that was done because the Sabres were not letting teams have his medical information. So I think this was Jack Eichel's side saying, here's the medical information. You can listen for 30 minutes and you'll hear the whole thing. And
right.
you don't need to get the medical information from the Sabres because we're going to give it to you here. You know, so
I think
up.
the doctor thing I think was very effective, Paul. Like I don't know, like if like how objectively anybody, you know, is really going to be listening to it, you know, because you know a lot of people are dug in on a position on this thing, and just might not, you know, might want to just support the team and not want to like hear Jack's side of things, whatever, and you know. Recognizing that the surgeon obviously is only portraying one side of this, I found it illuminating, really, the conversation and like what is behind what Eichel wants to do versus what it seems now the Sabres want him to do, which is get spinal fusion surgery. So if they are trying to get like favor, I think it worked. I mean, at least it worked on me. I'll admit that. I mean, I was not really strongly on one side or the other because I can understand the Sabres being reluctant to potentially devalue Eichel as they're about to try to trade him by having him have a surgery, letting him have a surgery that has never been performed on an NHL player. So, like, what is my overall, my number one interest is, you know, the Sabres maxing out the value in the trade, right? But I found the doctor very compelling. I just wanted to just say that. How about the notion that the agents are asserting that everyone now agrees that surgery is some kind of surgery is necessary? That's news, isn't it? If it's right.
Yeah, that's news. Plus, the news that they at the start of the season, pending medical clearance, he was going to be allowed to have that surgery if he desires, and then repeated requests was made and no avail, and this process stopped. You know, all that. Mm-hmm. It's like they made it sound like the Sabres were on board, then they weren't. Type of thing. That would be new if that's true. Adams has never indicated that even slightly in his comments about, you know, the surgery and that type of thing.
Right.
So
yeah, even last week, Paul, he said very casually, there's no update on the medical front. And if they were recommending spinal fusion surgery, as opposed to what Eichel wants, which is artificial disc replacement surgery, that would be a change on the medical front, a pretty significant one.
Yeah. And quite honestly, I don't think they want any surgery. I don't think they want to take the chance of a surgery going wrong and then they no longer have an asset. I mean, he would be untradeable then, and you basically have an injured player that you're stuck with. So I think he would prefer letting the other team figure out what surgery you want to have and all that kind of stuff because, you know, they could wind up with nothing should the surgery go wrong. The doctor did indicate also that he has done the surgery on high school and college hockey players.
Mm-hmm.
But every time he talked about he had done the surgery, you don't know when. How long ago was the surgery?
Right.
I mean, what kind of data do you have after the surgery that it's good, bad, or indifferent, you know, type of thing? So according to what the doctor said, and I have no reason to say he did not believe him, he has done the surgery on high school hockey players and college hockey players. He just has not done the surgery on NHL hockey players.
Right. Yeah. So, like, what do you think is next here? Like, because I'll tell you what. Let me rephrase here. My concern now, Paul, is that the Pegulas, for a couple of reasons, are probably very eager to get this situation resolved. It looks terrible. I mean, they've gone to war with their captain over a surgical procedure, basically. And that doesn't look good. Plus, they're staring at a $10 million a year player who, if he plays for them, is going to do so begrudgingly. If he doesn't get the surgery and doesn't get resolved, and like say he comes to camp because he has to in order to continue to get paid, but fails his physical, then they've got a $10 million asset that they still have to pay because he was hurt playing hockey. I'm worried that they are going to turn the pressure up on Adams to just make an O'Reilly deal here because they want this thing closed.
Last thing,
what do you think of that?
The last thing they want is an O'Reilly deal. Mm-hmm. They are beside themselves how that came out and how they look. They don't like looking bad, and it bothers them when they get ripped in the media like they do constantly. And it just, as I said, Thompson's a perfect example. Make Thompson work. Make Johnson work. You know, the kid at the University of Minnesota. We have to make this trade look better. Make it work. So they don't want another one of those just to get this over and done with. But if he – and according to the doctor, he needs a surgery.
Right.
He can't play – now, yes, we do see him at Bruins – not Bruins practice, but at the Bruins facility working out with NHL and college players. And, you know, they're scrimmaging a little bit, but they're scrimmaging. He's not taking the vigors of hits in the National Hockey League. According to the doctor – right now, he could not do that. He needs a surgery. And the doctor did say there's nothing wrong with the fusion surgery. He said it's a good surgery in the circumstance that, you know, you would have it in. He just said it just for what Jack needs and how the age of Jack, the disc replacement is a better option for Jack. But he didn't say that the fusion surgery is a bad surgery. It's just not what he feels is best for this hockey player. So, you know, if the hockey player needs a surgery and we get to September and nothing has changed, well, he doesn't pass his physical. It's as simple as that. Right. And then you've got a guy who's going to wind up on long-term IR, and you're still looking at a surgery. And then what? I mean, what do you do with that? I mean, Adams is adamant that he's fine with him showing up at training camp, and you know he's not concerned with distractions. Okay,
I cannot imagine this guy anywhere near that team right now, Paul.
I don't think Adams knows what a distraction is compared to what this is going to turn into.
Right.
You know, I just. You know, I know what he said there, but I know he wants to do what's best for the Buffalo Sabres. But if all of a sudden they drop the puck in October and you got your captain who doesn't want to be here on long-term IR, and other teams basically have figured out their salary cap already, you know, what are you going to wind up doing with this? So I understand that they haven't gotten an offer yet that they feel is necessary. Has the best offer they're going to see already happened? I mean, they have to evaluate that too. If this gets into September and it's still not, I mean, you can still salvage probably what the best offer was that you have gotten. You could probably still circle back to it, and unless it was with the Kings, who have basically filled out their roster, and you know they're kind of out of it. So there's still time, but if you get into September and October, you're probably going to have him on your long-term IR for all season long, and you're going to have to wait till the next off season to try to make a trade. And I wouldn't think if you're doing it then, after him having a full season off, you're going to get anywhere near the offers that you may have gotten in this past X amount of months, three, four, five months that you've been trying to do this.
Oh, and guess what? He has a no-move clause by then, too.
By July 1st.
Right, by July 1st. Right.
So Although he wants out.
Okay, that's right. That's an important distinction. July 1st, because they could do something before July.
All right. 1st, so you've been trying to trade him for a year, and the Calgary Flames have finally stepped up. All right, Jack, your move. You're gonna just say no, right. And you're gonna just keep doing this.
Right.
Or the Calgary Flames are willing to let you do the surgery you want to do.
Yeah.
Or are you just going to agree to go to the Calgary Flames and move on? And as far as arbitration goes, I think the only thing that I can think of why Eichel hasn't filed for arbitration, and this is the way it works. Eichel gets to choose a doctor, the Sabres get to choose a doctor, and then they both have to agree on a doctor. The only reason he wouldn't have chosen arbitration is he doesn't think he'll win. Otherwise, he could have gone that route and won. If they're pretty mm-hmm. confident, I'm thinking they haven't gone that route yet, as frustrated as they are, and that's a route open to them because they don't think they'll win.
That's possible. Somebody asked me this on Twitter earlier today, and I said my best guess is they might not mind kicking the can down the road to get to the no move clause when he'd have more control. But your idea might be more sensible because you are like losing a whole year.
Unless that's what their statement was about, maybe, you know, if they want to get to the no move, maybe the statement was trying to make it harder to trade him. But why would you want him sitting around here for a year not playing? Because
right.
he's going to have a surgery, so that means he's going to have a year off to get to the no move.
Well, at some point, someone is going to have to agree on something pertaining to addressing this disc problem he's got in his neck, right? If he needs surgery, like the clock is ticking, you know, something that's working against them now. Even if the Sabres were to suddenly find their way to, you know what, fine, go get your surgery, you're bumping into training camp now. Like, you're talking about a six-week window. Their surgery, you're talking about missing, you know, if all goes perfectly, you're missing at least October of the season. So talk about devaluing an asset. I mean, holy cow, Paul. I'm just bracing for, I don't know, disaster is too strong maybe, but the idea that they were going to make a trade that was going to like springboard their new rebuild with a couple of really exciting, interesting pieces, like that was an energizing conversation for me. For really from all through June and July, through the whole summer. And for me, it is just that has crash landed. I'm just having a harder time envisioning that happening now. I think as much as they might not want to make a bad trade, my feeling is a bad trade to end this, or he just is here and doesn't play.
And, you know, I wonder, too, if Adams felt that he was going to be experiencing a bidding war and it didn't materialize quite the way he thought it might. You know, sure, teams are interested, but all right, this is what we want and you're not going to take advantage of us and this is what we want. And now it's a staring contest. And Adams might still think, well, there's still a couple of months before the season starts. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stare back at him and we're going to win this. You know, they're going to break down because they really want Jack Eichel. And, you know, and the other teams are thinking, here's basically a rookie GM who's never done this job before. We're going to stare him down, and he's going to give in, and we're going to get Eichel, and we're not going to have to give up any of our really, really good prospects. You know, we can give him Tage Thompson, but we're not going to have to give him our top two or anything like that, you know, type of a deal. And – you know, so it's right now it's a staring contest.
Good times, Paul. Really, this has been a very uplifting. I should have saved the lighthearted stuff about the show that I'm going to go play with my friends for the end, because that would have been a good pick me up and a good way to end this instead of feeling like we're just crying in our beer, which is how I feel the tenor of this conversation has turned. Anyway, well, all right, Paul. I don't know.
There are people who feel Adams is in over his head. There are people who feel Adams is doing the right thing and it'll work out for him. Well, eventually we're going to find out. And the thing is, too, you never really find out what the trades were that could have happened, you know?
Right.
So you hear rumors, but you don't know if they're right. You don't know if they're wrong. you know, like the Kane trade where Botterill got a conditional first-round pick and wound up getting a first-round pick from the Sharks. There are many that felt better deal. He turned down better deals. Well, I've been told by very reliable people he didn't. He was given two different trades with conditional first-round picks. That was that, and he took one of them. And he never had a better deal on the table. So that kind of stuff, you just never know if it's right, it's wrong. You'll never know for sure if Adams got schnookered or if he wound up doing better than he thought he would or any of that kind of stuff.
Can you envision Eichel playing for this team?
No.
Yeah, same here. I just think – I mean, I know it could happen, but I just –
Because I don't envision a surgery. If his doctor is being truthful and correct, he can't play without a surgery.
Right.
So – and I don't envision the Sabres doing either surgery. I don't think they want to do either, quite honestly. I think they just want to move the asset and let another team figure out the surgery and that type of thing.
Yeah. Boy. All right, Paul. Good times. All right. Well, nice to talk to you. I don't know. Maybe we'll have reason to visit again soon. I hope we do.
Yeah, it would be nice to just get this kind of out of the way and move on. Right. And, you know, because I can't even – but Bidwell's about as far away as I can go right now because you just never know when all of a sudden your phone's going to start lighting up on you and you're sitting in a boat outside of Lake Ontario and you're going, okay, now
right. Well, Paul, that sounds to me like the door's open for you to get to this concert. That's what it sounds like to me. All right, so I'll see you there. All right, whatever.
All right, sounds good.
Talk to you later, Paul. There's Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline, and his appearances on WGR are brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. All right, we got some good calls in the first hour of the show, and we're certainly open to taking more on the Eichel saga, as we are calling it. You heard Paul and I there. You want to react to any of that? Offer up your suggestions, how you think this is going to end. I'll revisit the poll from earlier this afternoon as well about how you think this is going to end, what the most likely end game is for this Jack Eichel saga. Lines are open at 803-0550. Mike Schope is off today. I am the Bulldog along with Sneaky Joe DiBiase, and this is WGR. Good to have you with us here. I am the Bulldog. Mike Schope has the day off today. Sneaky Joe DiBiase along as well. I haven't counted the days, Joe. At some point, we should do what all the new the TV news. I mean, everybody loves TV news, right? It's a wildly successful enterprise.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't really matter if you tell the truth or not. So, I mean, you know, it's custom made for talk sports talk radio. We gotta like count the days. Like, when did Eichel make the disconnect comment? That was May. I don't have the date here, but this is a project for us, so we can start producing elements to our show and sounders with like day 68 of the Jack Eichel saga, and just ratchet up the drama. What do you think? It's just an idea I just now thought of.
I like it. We're on day 85.
Okay.
Since May 10th, which is when he made the season-ending press conference.
Okay, yeah, so. All right.
Seems like a lot.
85. Yeah, it's a lot of days. A lot of days. All right, we'll get to some calls here, and we'll get connected with our fans, something we are very fond of doing, and that's brought to you by Bond, Schenick, and King, a full-service Buffalo law firm. The Twitter poll from 4 hours ago is now up to 3,143 votes. How does the Eichel saga end? Great trade this summer, 9%. Bad trade this summer, 36%. Fails physical, sits out, 37%. Plays for the Sabres, 18%. I love that they're like, and that's like another 1,000 votes since the last time I checked at the beginning of the show, and the results are still exactly the same. Go figure. That's often how polling goes. The 18% that have him playing for the Sabres again. I don't know, man. I have a very hard time seeing it. Like, what's the scenario there? I don't know. Maybe we'll find out as we get to the phones and start taking some calls here. Let's do that. Hang on. There we are. Dan is first up this segment. Hi, Dan. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey, Bulldog, good afternoon. Hey, so bear with me for a minute, but I remember Jeremy at the start of the season last year talking about Eichel a lot. He would, in the mornings after a game, he'd be like, Eichel's not right. I'm telling you, there's something wrong with him. And I think the saga is a lot longer than day 68 for that reason. I think he was hurt long before he went headfirst into the boards. And that leads me to why I don't – my heart wants him here. Of course I want him here. He's a generational player, point-of-game guy. But at the end of the day, I think the surgery leaves him much like Peyton Manning. And I know Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl after that surgery, but he never had the same arm. We talked about ducks and the way his ball would just go up and had no speed behind it. And I think that Eichel's going to be in the same situation. He won't have the same shot. He won't look the same on the ice. So I don't see any way this ends without us getting a bag of hockey pucks and some third liner that, unfortunately, we just add to the rebuild. We get through the next couple of years, another high draft pick next year, another high draft pick the year after, and maybe we can talk about playoffs in 3 years, unfortunately.
Well, Dan, I think that's a very uplifting close to your comments. And maybe best case scenario that timeline. Look, it's a bad situation. Important differences. Eichel is 24 years old. Peyton Manning had been beaten and battered through a college and pro career and was, I don't remember exactly what age when he had neck surgery and ended up in Denver, but he was way more miles on him. Different sport. Jack Eichel doesn't need to spin a football 50 yards. Yes, he needs to use his body to take shots and torque his body that way. To my knowledge, Peyton Manning did not have artificial disc replacement surgery. So maybe that's a case for extending your mobility, because that's how the doctor, again, it's the doctor who wants to perform the surgery, so we all know that. But the spinal fusion surgery limits mobility and causes problems down the road. Recognizing that there's not a large body of evidence because this is a relatively new procedure, the artificial disc replacement is supposed to promote mobility and maintain mobility and leave Eichel more like he's been prior to this injury than spinal fusion would. Spinal fusion, in practice, will limit some mobility. How drastically, I don't know. I think there's a greater chance that Eichel's a different player after spinal fusion than there is after artificial disc replacement, after listening to the doctor. And again, maybe I'm, like Mike always says, he's gullible. Maybe I'm being gullible listening to this doctor. But I have come around to the opinion that that surgery leaves him a better player than potentially. He could be still a great player with either surgery, I suppose. I think the chances of the artificial disc replacement leaving him in the same state he was in before the injury are greater. More mobility and less long-term complications. So, yeah, I don't know. But the bottom line is this isn't getting solved, and the dream of getting like a rebuild jump-started with the return in this trade is fading like taillights on the horizon to me. I'm really worried about it. Thanks for the call, Dan. Pat is next up. Hi, Pat. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
It is fading. Why are we waiting so long to let Jack have his surgery? If he wants to have the surgery, and we're not getting the top prospect that we thought we were getting, then let him have his surgery. If we're not going to get full market value, and we're going to settle for an O'Reilly trade, let him have his surgery. After the doctor says it works, he's 100%, then we make the deal. We're waiting for nonsense. Let him have the surgery if he wants the surgery.
That's where I have landed here since listening to the doctor and weighing all of this. I think that's what I would suggest the Sabres do. I don't know if they are ever going to do it. Listening to Paul, like, he's skeptical about it being agreed upon that he needs surgery. Like, the Sabres have not publicly said that, so let's point that out, right? The notion that he needs a surgical procedure being agreed upon is an assertion that the agents have made. They also asserted that initially the Sabres doctors agreed with artificial disc replacement before changing their minds. I can't tell you 100%. I don't know who can. They can. Maybe the Sabres could, but they're not talking. Every time they talk about Eichel's medical, all they tell you is that it's, you know, business as usual, status quo. There's been no change. To my ears, to my eyes, that statement Friday night featured a couple of things that to me were new developments. If indeed the Sabres recognize that he needs surgery, but they prefer spinal fusion, that's a change. That's news. And if they initially agreed to artificial disc replacement, that would also be news. I would understand them not wanting to necessarily talk about that. It's probably good reason they don't want to talk about either. But, man, I'm telling you, the idea that Kevin Adams would open that news conference on Thursday with there's nothing new on the medical front, and then 28 hours later, we get a statement from Eichel's agents saying the Sabres doctors now agree that he needs surgery. That's, I mean, possibly the Sabres discovered that in between the time Adams made those comments and the time the agents did, or the agents are full of it. Either of those things could be true. I don't know how likely that is, but it's possible. So just to be thorough. Thank you for the call, Pat. Appreciate it very much. Jim, I believe, is up next. Hi, Jim. You're on WGR.
Now, the Sabres are completely wrong. Completely wrong. The medical opinions given are right. If he gets the replacement disc, he has a better chance of playing hockey than if he gets the latter surgery. So even for how they appear, the rest of the league and other players, why not take the high road and let this guy have the surgery his doctors say he needs? If he can play hockey at all, if he gets that surgery and he stays with the team, then they've given him what he wants. If he leaves the Sabres and he gets that surgery, so they take a little less, if anything, for him. But at least they did the right thing for a team captain and the guy they desperately wanted when he was available for the draft. So, you know, just for their own, the way they appear in the league, they have to do the right thing medically for their players. I mean, I think it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I do think that, you know, look, teams in the league, the Sabres don't have the market cornered on screwing up medical and looking bad. You know, people are pointing out to me other situations, other teams. Joe Sakic with Matt Duchene. Now, that wasn't a medical. That was just he wants to be traded. I'm not trading you till I get what I want. And that ran through, I think, an entire season. Tarasenko and the Blues are currently in the midst of getting a divorce. Tarasenko's got 1 year left on his deal. He's an older player than Eichel. But there was a medical issue there. There were a series of shoulder surgeries that Tarasenko believes they screwed up. That's different. Now, I don't know. I will tell you, I haven't gone deep on the details. If Tarasenko wanted to do one thing and the Blues wanted to do another, and the thing the Blues did has left Tarasenko damaged, or if just the surgery didn't repair what needed to be repaired and it was incorrect. Either way, there appears to have been a misdiagnosis there. I don't know that they denied him treatment that he sought, that they overruled him on. That ended then there. But that's an important difference in this, because if everyone just agreed you got to have shoulder surgery and something went wrong, I can understand the player being upset about it and wanting to leave the organization because he doesn't trust them anymore because they've messed him up medically, their doctors have. It's not the same as denying the player the surgery, the procedure that the player desires. And that's what's happening with Eichel. And to me, that's a very different situation. And it's not very much the same as the Duchene situation at all. Because you have to consider the reputation right now. Like, the Sabres' reputation within the league could not be worse. It could not be worse. So anything that they are touching here is going to be questioned. And they are not helping themselves at all. Like, they want players who want to be here. The way they've handled the cycle situation is not going to help anyone want to be here, aside from people who have no choice. It's plain. That's it. And they are going to have to rebuild their credibility And it's another reason why I would fear slash anticipate ownership leaning hard into Adams to get this resolved. And if that happens, I think you're ending at bad trade. 803-0550 is the number. Lines are available. You want to get in, we'd love to have you. And enjoy. I'm very much enjoying the conversation, so keep her rolling here. We'll take more calls right after this. Mike Shope is off today. I'm the Bulldog, and this is WGR.
I think Adams has been emboldened by that. I think he looks at the returns he got for those two deals, and he says, I'm digging in. But I think it's been a real tug of war, and I think the other teams look at Eichel's unhappiness, and they don't think there's any way Buffalo wants this to, despite what Kevin Adams said, I don't think they think there's any way Buffalo wants this to go into next year. And so it's a tug of war, leverage play, poker game that we've got going on here.
Elliot Friedman from the 31 Thoughts podcast, or that could have been with the guys on the Instigators. I'm not sure which it was. Instigators. Thank you, Joe. I was distracted. I was thinking how I wanted to make what I hope would be at least an amusing point about this gig I'm going to play with my friends Leroy Towns Band at Bidwell Park right after I get done here. And this is one of the songs that I play with them. This is You Wreck Me by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. And so Joe played it. I'm like, because I think the last time I did this with them, when I knew in advance, I asked Joe to play it to sort of like tease the show and get me in the mood.
Yeah, anyway, it's actually an amazing coincidence because I have just been like going through and like putting new music in, right, if you haven't noticed, like the last day or two. Right. And no, that was 100% coincidence, even though you're right. Funny. This song has not been on the show since then.
So I'm sitting here as Joe plays this. What I'm thinking I want to say here before we get a couple of more calls in is I'm a little uneasy. I mean, I'm totally comfortable and fine and have a blast playing with these guys. But they got to set up. The show starts at 7, and I'm on the air here. So one of their guitar players lives real nearby here, and he came and picked up Leo to bring my amp and my setup, all my stuff down there, so they can do sound check and all that stuff that you do when you play gigs. And Leo is like standing in for me in sound check, basically, right? And I'm sitting here nervous that like they're not gonna want me. Like my kid is like a billion times better guitar player than I am. I mean, just it's not even close. And like he's gonna, if they play that song and he plays the solo that I can't play, that Mike Campbell is playing on that right there, that was playing underneath the whole time, like I'm getting fired. Like it's over. The sit-in guitar player is my son now, I think, is what I'm fearing is going to happen. Probably not. I think they like me, but nonetheless, I'm a little uneasy. My kid's going to give me the boot. So it's just funny coincidence that Joe played that song then. Let's get back to the phone. Sorry about the little diversion there. Nick is first up this segment. Hi, Nick. Thank you for calling. You're on WGR.
How are you doing, dog? Listen, I had spinal fusion 2 weeks ago, dog, and it's for the second time in my life. I had it again. I had it in 2006. I had it last week. I'm in severe pain. And the thing that people don't know is, I love the Sabres. I want to see them make a great deal. But I just can't see it. It sounds like people don't know the ins and outs of this surgery. First of all, uh-huh, when you have a fusion, it takes – now, I don't think Jack is a smoker, which is a big thing. They can take a bone from a cadaver and they can put it in your neck, or they can use an artificial disc with a cage in the plate. I never smoked, so I got that. But it still took 1 year from the date of the surgery to the bone to actually fuse into your neck. So whenever Jack has his surgery, you're looking at him not playing hockey for at least a year, waiting for that bone to fuse. I mean, they even give you a little contraption that you wear around your neck. It's supposed to speed up the fusion process, which I think is a crock anyway. But now, me as a Sabre fan, knowing that Jack's got this, and Jack's never going to be the same player because it's going to be in his head. When he goes into the corner and Tom Wilson is coming at him and he's in the corner, Jack's going to run like a scared rabbit because he knows he's got spinal fusion and that thing could go at any time. And I just can't see. I don't think he's ever going to going to be the same, because he's going to have to get over the mental part. Because I know I do. I'm afraid of getting in the car accident, and sure enough, that's what happened to me, and I had to have it again. So, you know, I'm looking at other general managers, what they're offering and what the Sabres want, the three first-round picks, this, that. And by the time Jack plays hockey again, he may not have even seen the ice for 2.5 years. So I know anybody who's smart, a general manager on the other side, is going to offer the Sabres a bunch of pucks. And the Sabres are pretty much are going to have to take it. And everybody's going to think that it's the Sabres' fault. They suck. They don't know what they're doing, this and that. But they don't know the ins and outs of this surgery. And you know what? A bag of pucks might be a lot.
Yeah. Nick, I'm sorry to hear you've had such a tough time. And, you know, best of luck to you moving forward. Appreciate the call. No one is talking about that kind of timeline. If Jack ended up getting spinal fusion, of course, he doesn't want spinal fusion. He wants disc replacement. Artificial disc replacement is what he wants. All right, we'll take a timeout. Thank you for the call again. We'll take more calls. Lines are open, man. You got a thought on this thing? The Eichel saga, how it ends up here? This is such a tough situation all around. 803-0550 is the number. We'd love to hear from more of you if you're so inclined. I'm the Bulldog. Mike Schope has a day off. Sneaky Joe DiBiase along as well. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.